Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast. Today, Bob Lucy joins us. He's on the RTC of Washoe County. He's also the vice chairman of the Washoe County Commission, and he's also high up in NACO. All coming up on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Bob Lucy. He is the vice chair of the Washoe County Commission. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Hey, Sam. Thanks to be here. Glad to be here.
And in the last week, we've got announcements that National Association of County, or Nevada Association, I'm sorry, let me correct myself. The National Association of Counties made several key presidential appointments, and you are now going to serve on the National Transportation Steering Committee in role of subcommittee vice chair.
That's correct.
So that is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then you're also going to become vice president of Nevada, or NACO, which is the Nevada Association of Counties.
Correct.
Coming up in January 2020.
Yeah.
So two big appointments there. Explain what the role will be on the National Transportation Steering Committee.
So I've always, ever since my election tenure in office, I've served at NACO and at the National Association of Counties. And one of the steering committees that I've always been interested in, obviously, was transportation and how that policy was basically directed at the national level and how the counties played a major role in that. And so I've sat on that committee, just been interested in, over the last couple of years, I've become a little bit more actively involved. And this year, an opportunity came up. I met the president, the current president of NACO. She's a personal friend of mine, a commissioner from Nebraska. We had a frank conversation. I told her I'd like to serve and participate, and I was able to get the vote of my peers and serve. And now I serve as the vice chair of the subcommittee for transit and rail. So that'll be guiding policy in regards to any transit issues or rail issues as it pertains to federal infrastructure and those types of bills. So it'll be very interesting stuff.
Have you been looking at what's going on in Southern Nevada with Virgin Trains and the high-speed train that's going to be going from Las Vegas to Victorville and back?
I've paid attention a little bit to it. I don't know the breadth of it. I know obviously there is a large push to continue to push towards that. I know Tina Quigley from Southern Nevada RTC has left RTC and is now going over to Virgin Trains to work with on that project. So there's a lot of interesting things to come. I don't know enough about it yet. I want to spend some more time down in Las Vegas and figure out what's really going on. But it sounds like a wonderful project, and it's going to be neat.
Well, and it's taken years to come together, and
yeah,
finally it looks like they're going to get the funding, although they need the legislature to do some things to help in terms of the funding,
right?
I guess with bonding, et cetera. And you know, we haven't talked about this on the show yet, and I'm glad you brought it up. I think Tina Quigley has been an amazing asset for RTC in Southern Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I think it's they will find somebody to replace her, but she's going to be tough to replace.
Totally. And, you know, I think when you have somebody that has that breadth of knowledge, and Tina's always been a phenomenal big thinker. She's done a lot of great things for Southern Southern RTC in the sense that she's moved that program ahead in light speed in regards to some of the autonomous buses stuff that they've worked on down south, some of the major road projects. I mean, it's such a unique network to run down there, and just transit alone is a big issue down there. Making sure that those buses are running and negotiating those contracts, big deal. So she is going to be a very difficult asset to replace because she is very, very smart and very very sought after. So.
And very well connected, which is going to be very beneficial to Virgin Trains and Richard Branson's move. And the good news, too, I think about that particular project is that the company that is putting all this together has been very successful in Florida in putting in rail lines there.
Right.
And so it's not a company that's just pie in the sky or a bunch of guys hoping to make this work.
No.
It's a company that is actively building trains and putting them into play.
No, and we're seeing
and successfully.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the pivotal point about this is that you're not just having somebody who's just fly by night. This is really, they've put a lot of time and energy and spent the time really working on this. And I think like you said, if they can get the bonding structure changed, that the legislature can get some of them, I think that's really the only hurdles because these people are true innovators and they truly know how to bring that stuff to fruition. And so I'm excited to see what those projects lay ahead. We have some amazing things going on in Nevada, both north and south. And I'm excited to see both of those succeed.
One of the things that has come up also in the last week or so is a discussion about the Boring Company, Elon Musk's company,
right,
that is building tunnels under the Las Vegas Convention Center to be able to transport people there,
right,
and the possibility that they might make the extension from Mandalay Bay or somewhere to the airport. And a discussion between them and the monorail company.
Right.
And the head of the monorail company made the point that this is not a competition necessarily, that Las Vegas is going to need every mode of transportation as their casino industry and entertainment industry grows. And I was just wondering how that pertains to Northern Nevada in terms of, you know, how many different pieces do we have to have for transportation in Northern Nevada, in your view?
And so I think we're looking at a number of different things as we grow here in Northern Nevada. And obviously, we're closely observing what's happening in Southern Nevada. The Boring Company and some of the innovative projects, I mean, with the expansion of the convention center in Las Vegas with the LVCVA, you know, they're absolutely, as you pointed out, they're going to be able to need to move people as safely as possible, but in every way possible, because the roads are jam-packed. You can't travel down Las Vegas, down the Strip anymore very easily. You've got to be able to move people quickly. And as you see that convention space, Las Vegas being one of the largest convention spaces in the entire world, when you have major conventions come, you need to be able to move people adequately and safely throughout. And so as it pertains to Northern Nevada, as we look at it, you know, obviously Elon has a large investment here in Northern Nevada with the Gigafactory. And we talk continuously how challenging it is to move people down through the East Truckee River Canyon safely, because the majority of those individuals that work and are doing the construction out at the Tri-Center they live here in Sparks and Reno. And so to get them safely out there and get the workforce out there, we're going to have to look at different ways because, you know, expanding or widening I-80 is going to be a challenge. You, geographically, you can't go into the bedrock to the north and you can't go into the river to the south. So you've got to find a way to get, you can't really do that, so we're going to have to find some alternative routes. And one topic I've heard is him talking about boring from Tri-Center. Now, this is pretty elaborate, but boring from Tri-Center all the way to some sort of place in Sparks.
So have you actually heard that from his mouth, or is that just...
That's hearsay. Rumor that I've heard out there. I don't know how viable it is, but I mean, these are ideas that are being thrown out there that we've been retaining. So I mean, we'll kind of keep an eye on seeing how far they can dig these underground tunnels and what they can do with that, and so it's interesting to me.
One of the other things Lance Gilman has talked about, one of the founders of TRI, in terms of I-80, is that, you know, you're talking about bedrock, but he's saying that that's really going to be the only one of the ways that you can widen I-80 is to go into that bedrock,
right,
but the cost is so high.
It's tremendously high.
Do you see any chance of that in the, RTCs, airports, are 30-year planners. They're not people that plan something over the next 15 minutes.
Right.
So do you even see that in a 30-year plan?
At this point, not yet. And here's a number of reasons why. You know, obviously, we talk about the Build Act that's currently funding infrastructure from the federal level. That is funded, but not to the tune of what you would need to actually widen that road. So it would rely heavily on state and local taxes to make that come to fruition. And then to plan that out over 30 years, the type of construction and the NEPA process that you would have to do, it's tremendous. I mean, Project Neon was a 30-year idea, and that
just for the folks that may not know what that is, this was a major widening around the Spaghetti Bowl area down in Southern Nevada on I-15, which is the main corridor.
Correct.
Where all the major casinos
right.
are.
Right, and so that took 30 years. Southeast Connector.
And it's almost done.
It's almost done. Southeast Connector is done, and yes. but that was a 20-year project. I mean, that took literally 20 years. And now you're talking about a 13-mile stretch of highway, federal highway, that is a massive connector for east to west, and you're going to widen that through an area that's solid bedrock in places. I think that's a pretty major undertaking, and it's just not going to happen overnight.
Do you see I-11 expansion from Las Vegas north in the next 30 years?
You know, we keep talking about another CanMex highway. You know, the Canada to Mexico connection to try to bring forth that commerce and really elevate that commerce. However, and there are sections of that are completed. You know, obviously the Arizona to Las Vegas sections are completed, and obviously the bridge was a part of that.
Well,
discussion.
Let's say the discussion. I mean, Arizona is still
right.
struggling to get their portion of it done.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Nevada has built the from the border up to around Boulder City.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was really another project
that was a second project that was kind of co-labeled as I-11, right?
Yeah.
And so,
and that's fine.
And that's okay. And I mean, that might be a way we piece this together. But to truly get the sole funding for an entire I-11 project from the Mexican border all the way, the Mexico border all the way up to the Canadian border, that's a major undertaking. And I just don't see it currently in the funding. And I don't think we haven't seen the appropriations for that at the federal level that you're going to really see it. I mean, I'd love to see it come to fruition. I think Nevada would dramatically benefit from that. However, I just do not see, there's so many challenges out there and right now, and we keep getting roadblock after roadblock, you know, and no pun intended, but that's really what we're seeing.
Do you think that as part of the president's strategy for re-election, that he is going to, you know, come up with an infrastructure bill that would really make sense, whether it gets passed before the election or not, but the idea that he would actually come up with a specific proposal, is that the sense you're getting from D.C., or is that really just been pushed to the back burner?
I think it's really, in my opinion, and from my time in D.C. and spending time with the delegation and members of different transportation committees back there, it really isn't something that's been brought forward again. I mean, we saw in his first round, in his first election campaign, that was one of his big promises, you know, and in his first 100 days, he came out strong with the infrastructure plan. But ever since then, when it's really it got no legs and never got anywhere, we really haven't seen it. And actually, the last trip I had to D.C., I spent some time at the Department of Transportation in Secretary Chao's office. And there really wasn't any discussion. We keep asking about, you know, are we going to see a bigger infrastructure package come through? What's that going to look like? And very tight-lipped, not a whole lot of discussion about it. You would think there would probably be a little bit more forward about that if that was something that was on the horizon. And I don't see it being one on the horizon.
All right, let's take a break. More with Bob Lucey, Vice Chairman of the Washoe County Commission, when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bob Lucey. He's the Vice Chairman of the Washoe County Commission and also will become Vice President of Nevada's NACO, the Nevada Association of Counties, in January 2020. So let me ask you, let's start in Clark County. What's the biggest issue that comes to NACO from Clark County?
So obviously Clark County, well, let me back up a little bit. You know, obviously NACO is a very unique association.
And people don't really know that much about it.
And so Nevada NACO, you know, NACO obviously stands for the Nevada Association of Counties, which is very similar to the National Association of Counties, so very easily confused. But there's the Nevada Association of Counties that represents all the counties here in the state. And we challenge issues from urban issues all the way down to rural issues. And that's really where we come together as counties to carry forward our legislative issues and policy direction from a county standpoint to the state legislature. And so currently, the current vice president that's preceding me is Chairwoman Kirkpatrick, Maryland, from down south. And so her and I have a very close relationship and unique relationship where we talk about a lot about how Northern and Southern Nevada issues align and what we can do for each other and help. You know, issues that.
And by the way, if I can just interrupt for a second, it is really, and I found this fascinating over the last 10 years of doing this show, that so many of those issues do align.
Oh, absolutely. You know, for example, most people wouldn't understand that cooperative extension plays a major role in Southern Nevada, and how they utilize that for different programs throughout the city and throughout the county to help young students and individuals gain different educations and different things of that nature. Whereas people would think cooperative extension is just built for farmers and ranchers in the north, and it's really not. And so we talk about cooperative extension. We talk about issues as it pertains to healthy communities, Medicaid. Medicaid's issues that are going to be fall back on counties to make sure that we are paying for a certain amount of Medicaid for the residents. There are a number of issues that are probably plaguing Clark County, probably better asked Marilyn than me.
And hopefully she will be on the show coming up in the beginning of December.
Great, yeah, and she's a wonderful lady and does a lot of things for Southern Nevada and Nevada as a whole.
And one of the things about her that I think a lot of Republicans like is that she is a business person.
Totally.
And so even as a Democrat, she looks at business from a totally different perspective than somebody who's way over on the far left.
And here's what I say, you know, as it pertains to Republican versus Democrat, I say, you know, really, I think Maryland is the true breath that, you know, you can probably have a party affiliation, but first and foremost, she's a Nevadan. And she acts as a Nevadan. She runs her policy as a Nevadan. So it never really comes from a place of a political drive. And neither do I. I don't see myself one way or the other. I see when the issues come to me, I take it as I'm a Nevadan. And you know, we have a pioneer spirit here, and we want to make sure that what we're doing is right for our community, and that we can continue to grow, but continue to provide those for those that are here. And I think that's really one of my initiatives. Coming into Nevada NACO and taking that leadership role is that I don't see this separation between county lines. I don't see this separation between parties or north and south. I see it as these are all issues about people. These are all faces that we deal with. And I want to make sure that those individuals have the best representation as possible. And I want to be that person for them. And I think that's what Marilyn and I have done, you know, with NACO, and we continue to do.
Okay, so as you look at Nevada right now and ongoing, boy, as far as the eye can see, that, you know, we're in boom times, but there are still areas of the state that are not.
Oh,
and
central
Nevada, you know, I'm thinking about the counties around Yucca Mountain, still could use economic development. And
yeah.
They look at the potential to use that site, whatever it's for, as economic development. Is there any kind of battle or discussion between NACO representatives in terms of, you know, we'd like to go forward with this process? We know you're not in favor of it, but, you know, how do we go forward?
You know, the conversation as it pertains to the Nevada test site and how that is going to be utilized and in the future, you know, that's still undetermined. But I think what the counties are talking about is that if it ever becomes a reality, if it ever comes to fruition, that there should be some economic value that comes from that. Whether that's in some sort of way as payment, you know, some kind of a payment from the federal government, if there is something, or economic development, some space that is allowed for them, or public lands that have been turned over that will be released.
Or a rail line from Caliente.
Yes, there you go. Or a rail line, you know, and working with Union Pacific to do some, you know, some trans-commerce. Because, look, I mean, you talk about, let's take Tonopah, for example. Tonopah is in Nye County, the largest county in the state, and but it has one of the smallest populace. And in Tonopah, they have challenges with just getting medical services there.
Right, they lost the hospital.
They lost the hospital, so they have to rely heavily on telemedicine. So with telemedicine, you got to make sure that there's connectivity, and the connectivity is, do they have broadband? Do they have these types of things? Issues that I was talking to people from Eureka County and that, they're still having water issues. Many of their ranchers are their wells are drying up. Even though we've had very, very wet years here in the western part of the state, the eastern part of the state, it got the water, but it didn't charge the aquifers, and they don't have this storage. So you have these rounds of issues, wild horse and burrow issues across the same public
lands. Okay, I'm going to hold you for just a second. We have to take one more break,
sure.
And then we'll be right back.
No problem.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bob Lucey. He's the Vice Chairman of the Washoe County Commission. We've only got a minute left here. In another of your roles on the RSCVA, with the loss of a couple of conventions, have we seen the expansion of the convention center stall at this point in time, or are you still potentially optimistic that we could move forward with that?
Well, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we can see continue to grow, but you know, I think at this time we're kind of put that on the back burner, and we'll see what happens in the legislature, because it is an issue we need to deal with. But you know, we talk about
why the legislature, because of the funding.
Well, the funding issue. Obviously, we've got to be allowed to go out and change, or at least be able to go place a fee with the casinos to in charge to get that funding to bond the project. So we'd have to do that, and there are some steps we'd have to clear, and obviously we'd have to go lockstep with the NRA, Nevada Resort Association, and until we can do that, I think but you know, what's really, you know, what people don't really understand is that we may have lost a bunch of large citywides that are Interbike and maybe Safari Club, but remember, we lost Interbike not because we did anything.
They closed
up. We lost only one of three shows, so we got two-thirds of Safari Club. And realistically, you know, people don't understand it, but the next citywide, people ask me, is coming next month. There is a citywide coming next month that is going to fill up a majority of our properties, that's going to occupy a good majority of our convention center, but people don't realize it because they're not broadcast news. It's not out there like Interbike is.
Well, perhaps we should have more discussions.
We should.
Come back soon.
Thank you,
Sam. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Everywhere is Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.